And good morning. Good morning to all of you who are tuned in this beautiful day to Heart of Mind Radio. And this is the Progressive Radio Network over PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis, and we come to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Our objective and our mission is to offer you opportunities to be inspired, to grow, to heal, and to work in harmony with each other to build community, a community that has potential to change the world. On today's program, I believe that we're going to be looking at this in a very real way. And I'll be speaking with and joining me this morning is Greg Reitman. He's director and filmmaker. We're going to be talking about his newest film, Rooted in Peace. And before talking about that, before doing the full introduction, I just wanted to say hello and welcome, Greg.
Oh, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. We're so happy to have you. Now, the film is called Rooted in Peace, and it challenges viewers to examine their values as Americans and human beings. I can't think of anything more important in our current time. Today we are at war with ourselves, with our environment, and with the world. And this director and award-winning filmmaker, Greg Reitman, takes us on a film journey to take notice, stop the cycle of violence, and proactively seek ways to find personal and ecological peace. Now, the film itself is screening at the Cinema Village starting today. So we're going to be talking about that and inviting you to really go and see this film and get involved in what it is teaching you. And Greg Reitman is a director, producer, writer, and active member of the Directors Guild of America, described by Movie Maker magazine as one of the top 10 filmmakers producing content that impacts our world. He is founder of Blue Water Entertainment, an independent production company. And he produced the Sundance Audience Award-winning feature documentary, Fuel, a vital documentary by Gary Goldstein in Los Angeles. And this played at dozens of film festivals and won numerous awards. So he has a amazing career, including in Hollywood. And he also directed Catalina, Magical Isle Catalina, a charming and nostalgic slice of Americana that beautifully recreates a sense of place. So you have a lot of history in making films, but I am so looking forward really to seeing this new film, Rooted in Peace. So before going into that, Greg, can you start by giving us a little bit more insight into who you are and why you're motivated to make films that are going to have an impact on people's lives?
Sure. Well, first, let me thank you for having me this morning. I'm a native New Yorker who, like any of us, was just interested in living in a world filled with, you know, with peace and really appreciated our civil liberties. And, you know, growing up as a young child, my grandpa used to take me to the Statue of Liberty, and I just had a deep affinity for our land and our freedom. And I noticed post 9/11 that things were changing, that things, it wasn't business as usual, and that there was an undercurrent that was sort of pulling us away from that particular center of gravity. And I had a particular experience at the JFK airport that really just propelled me to want to make this film and to really sort of look at just some of the things that I thought were fundamentally wrong. One of them being why we just have this innate ability of ours to want to extract and take, and rather than just look outside the box and look and realize that there are certain things that are naturally flowing that we could use that could vitalize our planet and ourselves, and why weren't we doing that? And that was really the impetus behind the making the film.
And we're going to play a little trailer in just 1 or 2 minutes, but can you give a little introduction to let people know who's in the film and the various forces that came together in the making of the film?
I'm sorry, what was the second part of the question?
The various people, their energies and ideas that are going into the making of, that went into the making
sure.
of the film.
Sure. So, you know, we have a great cast of people, beginning with, like, science and doctor Deepak Chopra. We have three musicians that are world-renowned, one of them the late and legendary Pete Seeger, Donovan and Mike Love, film director David Lynch, Nobel Peace Laureate Reed McGuire, Ted Turner, Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And then we have a second level of luminaries that are environmental activists like Paul Hawken and William McDonough and Lester Brown, people up at the HeartMath Institute, Roland McCrady and Deborah Rosman, Deborah Garcia out in Mill Valley. There's probably about 40 characters or 40 different people that are weaved through the film. And essentially, each of them sort of play a higher purpose in telling the narrative or the story of Rooted in Peace, which is really a heart-mind film. And each of them really is departing knowledge of really our interconnectedness to ourselves and getting to that higher state of being.
Yeah, that's so important. I think it's where we all are right now, trying to connect and stay connected to that path. It's very difficult when we integrate all the chaos that's going on in the world to keep that connection to our higher purpose. I'm going to take a minute and see if we can play the trailer. It's not very long, but just people listening.
I heard this word enlightenment, and I wondered, does a human being have this potential?
Since the beginning of time, we have been at war with ourselves and our environment.
If we don't talk about what war does, then we carry it forward.
Why is peace so difficult to achieve?
It's business. There's a market for this.
Here we are at the E3 show.
We're not born violent. Our culture teaches us how to be violent.
The atom bomb didn't wake people up about warfare. The devastation of the natural environment has not woken people up about environmentalism.
If you want to change the world, start with yourself. Be a good example.
I met the legendary folk singer Pete Seeger.
I'm glad and I live in a country where we can disagree without trying to shoot each other.
When I met the Beatles, what we were searching for was an understanding of the unity of all. And then Maharishi appears in our lives.
Creativity and more energy and clarity, that sounds like something everybody could use.
I met Greg. He took me off guard and he said, "So, are you dating anybody?"
Her love opened my heart.
Just put this on your earlobe.
I was on the path of personal health and consciousness. But how does our health relate to global awareness?
You cannot separate yourself from the world.
We've had 80,000 new chemicals introduced into our environment.
We are depleting our natural resources at an incredible pace.
We have to understand that this planet is one life support system.
We continue to destroy the very fabric of life. I had this crazy idea. I was going to save the world by planting trees.
We think tree is not a part of our body. If it perishes, you perish.
We are one ecosystem. We are one humanity.
How about your bonsai tree?
Cool. We can be human together.
All right, come on!
When you experience the transcendent, negativity starts to lift away like bright light of peace radiating.
Peace is a state of existence, and we certainly can get there.
By becoming one with the world, we become one with each other.
Individual transformation is global transformation.
And that was a trailer to give you a little sense of the film Rooted in Peace. And it is something I believe that works towards certainly inspiring each of us, fortifying us in our own journey. And if the film becomes known and successful and more people are watching it, then it might be just that inspiration that we do need to pull us together and make this transition. So, Greg Reitman, what is your vision right now for this film? What would really please you if it could? What role it would play?
Well, I think right now, I think in lieu of what has occurred politically in our country, you know, with Donald Trump as the president-elect, I think that our film couldn't be more timely. And I think that the purpose of the film is to really understand just how important it is to embody a sense of peace and really to know how our actions affect other people. And, you know, and I think when you see the film, you really get present to, you know, this maraud of understanding this inner science of brain, heart, body, connectedness. And truth be told, you know, if we have an angry president, we're going to have an angry world. If we have a loving president, we're going to have a loving world. And there's something that we really need to understand collectively as we embody these people in office. And I think when you see the film, it becomes more transparent. I think that the film really becomes like a litmus test of the world that we're living in. And sometimes we really don't want to see our reality the way I didn't want to see my reality. But in a greater sense, when you do, you really have a chance of expansion, a chance of growth. And I hope that now when I think about the film and I think about what's occurring, it gives me a sense of hope that, you know, that the more people that see it, the better the chance would be, you know, moving forward.
Yeah, I have a tendency to agree with you. And one of the things that I certainly have been challenged by, or at least felt a challenge, is staying in center and staying on course with regard to what I know to be true, and with really being able to continue to make that contribution on the level of heart, on the level of energy and relationship and work, in a world in which it looks very fearful and in which you see so much negativity, you see suffering, you see all these things that are going wrong. But now, as you said, with the election, there seems to be like this multiplication of the toxic that's going on in our world. So maybe you can also share how this work has helped you to stay centered as you've moved through the making of this film and the promotion of this film and I guess going on to your next projects. What do you do to stay centered?
I think the thing that really separates me now from other filmmakers is very simple. I never had a meditation practice prior to starting this particular film. You know, I didn't really know what meditation was. I didn't really understand the different amount or array of mantras that are available for people. I didn't really understand the just the impact of learning how to meditate and what it does to you, you know, from a physiological perspective. And so one of the takeaways for me was, you know, one, having a practice. And then two, I think that the second thing was I always grew up, you know, going on hikes in New York with my uncle and my sister. But I think after making this film, I have a much deeper appreciation of our interconnectedness with the natural world and how important trees are. And I think that that's something, you know, that I wasn't really, I kind of knew from afar, but every time I see the film or I hear a particular clip, you know, by Ananda Giri, it really brings home just how important, you know, the vitality and the vital force of, you know, protecting, you know, what's here, you know, and you know, when we look at like Standing Rock and we look what's going on in that particular area, it really brings home, you know, this idea of when are we going to actually grow up and when are we going to stop extracting and when are we going to stop lying to each other and saying that, you know, that fracking doesn't affect our water when it does. I mean, there's just certain things that are becoming more, or the truth, you know, the truth will set us free, as they used to say. I still would say it, the truth will set us free. And I think that's really the embodiment of this film, is that I was a truth seeker and I was really looking to bring the truth forward. And I think now more than ever, I think that's what this film embodies. And I think that when a lot of people watch the film, they have these thoughts and these opinions, but they really weren't clear about it. And I think the way it's framed and the way that it's packaged, it's a very coherent way of looking at the world.
Yeah. And one of the other things I'd love for you to speak to is the young people. From my perspective, you're a very young man and you're doing all wonderful work in the world. And I see young people going two ways, well, maybe three ways. One, sort of giving up hope and not believing that they can make a difference. And then you have a lot of the younger people, the millennials so-called, who are moving into that state of fear and fascism. And then there are people such as yourself who are just really working, doing what you can do. And maybe you can give a word to our younger generations. I'm almost in the realm of being a senior. So, you know, I really want to have an opportunity for someone to speak to young people who have all this creativity and energy, but don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's another great question. I mean, I'm sort of like in the midpoint. I'm not young. I'm not 20 years old, but I'm not a senior. So I'm in my mid-40s and sort of the last leg of, I think, the years when the Grateful Dead played, you know, on their tour. So that kind of like gives you a point of where I sit, you know, in the pendulum. It's fascinating for millennials to watch Rooted in Peace. I've never seen a group of minds and talent that gets so enamored and they just love the movie. It's really an incredible self-expression of seeing them, you know, experience the film. It's not something I've ever seen. It's beyond my imagination. I mean, we saw it before with Fuel, when we won the audience award at Sundance, where young kids came out of the movie theater and were inspired and wanted to go out and buy a hybrid or electric car or wanted to learn how to make their own fuel, like biodiesel. I think in this particular film, it's a much deeper form of inspiration where they're drawing from this idea of learning for the first time who Maharishi Mahesh Yogi is. Seeing when they know of the Beatles and they all know or have heard the songs or their parents have probably played their songs to them, but seeing firsthand John and Paul and Donovan and Mike, you know, in Rikishesh, in India for the first time. I mean, I think it for them, it's like a new beginning. And, you know, and it really is very probing in the sense that most of them, I would say 95% of them or higher, 99% of them, don't have a meditation practice or aren't meditating, but are learning about the impact of their brains and the idea of what a mantra does for their brains in the film and how it expands their consciousness and really, you know, really unleashes their creativity. So it really is sort of it's a wonderful sort of tool chest, I guess, in when they look at the film, in a way for them to sort of really reach their goals and aspirations and really understand that, you know, love is the way, you know, but in a way where it's not just a hippy-dippy way, which was taught back in the 60s, but it's a more sort of chronological way where they can get there in a way where it makes sense for them.
Excellent, excellent. And I know that this film also, you know, it just covers so much ground, but how would you... Justin, again, in speaking to people of all ages, I believe, to encourage them to go ahead and realize their gift, whatever it might be. So for you, it's the film, you know, the musicians in the film, it's about the music, all the people you speak to, they all have great work that they've brought into the world. And sometimes, you know, people want to take a step back and feel like they're not worthy of this kind of contribution. What would you say for people who don't know that they have that gift?
Oh, I mean, it's so clear. I mean, you know, as David Lynch, you know, says, and others have said as well, everybody has a gift. It's an innate thing, and we're all born with it. It's just really just tapping into it. So it's sort of like a universal truth, and it's all there. And I think that, you know, all of us, each of us, we go on this seeking journey, and you know, when eventually when they get there, there's two paths, you know. And I think it's almost the same way when the Beatles were on their path, you know, they were searching and searching, and with George and Donovan, and you know, and they were using different, you know, drugs and mushrooms, and they realized that wasn't a very healthy way of getting there. And eventually they found, you know, Maharishi to help them, you know, to unlock that hidden treasure that was deep inside them. And I think it's the same thing for all of us. I think that, you know, there's a limited access that, you know, that drugs provide for us, and that there is a natural way of getting there. And I think that, you know, once it's found and once it's understood, and this particular, you know, meditation's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. You know, it was brought from the East to the West. You know, it's so profound. And I think what we find now is the science is finally catching up to that reality where they can actually measure, you know, how it's impacting us physiologically. And so I think on that level, you know, it makes me hopeful.
Yeah, it does make me hopeful as well, because it begins to move into the realm of comprehension and acceptability for people who might otherwise have dismissed it at face value. So that's really important for us.
And I think that's what's happening now. I mean, with the Dakota Pipeline and you know, listening to what was going on last night, ABC at Standing Rock, and listening to, you know, Mark Ruffalo and Josh Fox and these Native elders, it's like, God, it's like this truth of what we're doing. It's been going on for a long time about the idea that extracting and, you know, and taking, and, you know, they were mentioning at Rushmore that there was $3 trillion of gold that was extracted from that particular area. The idea that fracking doesn't cause an impact on our water. I mean, it's delusional. I mean, and it's just, I mean, I think what's important here is as we evolve and we become more aware, more conscious, you know, it provides a better world for all of us. And so, you know, we have to, we're going to have to grow up. And that's really, I would say, is the test for the film, is that, you know, when you look at it and you see it and you experience it, it's really begetting the question, you know, it's time. You know, it's time for us to just to wake up and to make that flight, you know, where it's so clear that what that new realm is, and that new world of what it looks like. When I describe that new world, I'm really talking about that natural world that's using the sun to power, you know, our grids and our electricity. You know, it's all there for us. Mm-hmm. It's just a choice that we really have to make. And if we're not aware, and if we're dumbed down, and we're ignorant, then we're just going to make bad choices.
Yeah, that's very true. And one of the things that strikes me about this whole situation, and I think I'm hearing that in my, you know, as a result of what's happening at Standing Rock, I do think that there are many, many people who fully get it, who totally understand that we have to change the way we're doing things, but it seems that there's also a requirement to get involved in a political way in order to make it possible for people to make change. Because if we leave it up to the dynamics of the corporate structures and the people who really have the resources and are benefiting from these practices. So how do you suggest we balance that deep understanding of who we are, that reverence for nature and each other, but to also figure out how to get into this political world in which these things literally have to be stopped?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it's a really another great question. And I was going to say, you know, it's really interesting that the premise of the film is to be the change you want to see in the world. The world is as you are. That ultimately, the only thing that you can actually change is yourself. And, you know, and if it's if it's something that you want to, if it means that you want to bring that change forward in a political way, you can do it. But you could also do it, you know, on a personal level with your family, with a loved one. You could also do it in your corporate setting. It doesn't have to be just always political. I think that, I understand there are going to be activism and we're going to see it across the board. But true change, true social change can happen in so many ways. I mean, it could just be where, someone's, you know, not happy and then all of a sudden they start to meditate and then they become happy. And there's what I would classify as the ripple effect. And then other people start to see it, and they start to want to change. I mean, that ripple can happen not just by being on the front lines of Standing Rock, not that I'm saying that we don't need to be on the front lines of Standing Rock, but it could also just be like in the train station, which I was seeing last night on the news. There was like this Buddhist group that decided that they no longer wanted to meditate in these quiet places that they want. So they decided to go to the underground of the subway system in Manhattan and to bring that silence there. And I thought it was very interesting to see that dichotomy of really, you know, what they're showing. And there were a couple of people that sat down, you know, who joined them, and they captured that, and they got that, you know, 10 or 15 minutes of bliss, you know, that set them off for the day, which again creates that ripple. So I think that it's the idea of really understanding what the change maker is and really understanding that it's really in each of us. And that really becomes the sort of the litmus test of how we bring change forward and how that shows up in our different worlds, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense, because it in a way gives people that liberty to find their own path. You know, it's not like you can dictate to another what they need to do and how they need to do it, but give people the inspiration to find their gift.
Because for some, you know, some, they're just not going to want to be political activists. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Some are going to want to take their their actions. Some might want to do it through art, you know, through drawings, or, you know, there's so many different ways of self-expression, of expressing ourselves, you know, and that's the wonderful thing about America and our freedom, is that we have those choices and that embodiment, but we don't have to live in, we don't have to be constricted by it. I guess that's the higher purpose of this conversation.
Exactly. So we're just about out of time for our interview. Let's remind people of the film itself, Rooted in Peace, and let them know where it is and how they can see it, because it opens today, I believe.
Yeah, it opens today at the Cinema Village on 22 East 12th Street on the East Village, right? I think it's like almost like adjacent to like NYU. It's a really beautiful theater in the East Village, and it'll be playing for the week. It starts today at 1:15. It'll play five times a day, 1:15, 3:15, 5:15, 7:15, and 9:15. And for Friday night, there'll be a Q&A at the 7:15 show. And then Saturday, there'll also be a Q&A at 7:15. And then I just found out that on Monday, Ananda Giri from One World Academy is flying in from India to New York, who will also join me for a Q&A at 5:15 on that Monday. And it'll play all the way till Thursday the 23rd of those screening times that I had mentioned.
That's great. And that's Cinema Village, December 16th to 23rd. And do you know the address of Cinema Village?
Yeah, it's 22 East 12th Street, New York, okay. New York.
Excellent. And
I think it might be 10003, if my memory serves correct.
Okay, that's great. I'm putting the information up on our web page here at the Progressive Radio Network.
Yeah, and I think, you know, through We the World, we've offered a complimentary code. So anyone that says, you know, We the World gets a $2 off the ticket price at the box office.
Oh, that's great. We the World.
Yeah.
And of course,
it's
that's
the code. So if they say We the World, they get $2 off the ticket price at the box office.
Okay. That's a great added donation for people, added bonus. And you mentioned you might be able to give a pair of tickets or something. So what I thought I would do is I would just invite people to drop me an email at heartofmindradio@gmail.com if you are interested in that pair of tickets, and then I will communicate back, and we'll be able to get your name on the on one of the guest lists. Is that how it works, Greg?
That's all it works. Yeah, all they need to do is that they email you. We'll be happy to give away two free tickets, and they'll be available at the box office.
Okay. So I'm going to actually the person who gets that email in first will be the one. So get that email in, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, and we'll facilitate you getting your free showing. But everybody gets a gift. You can get that $2 off with the complimentary code We the World. And just as a last reminder, Greg, in just a few words, what is Rooted in Peace for people?
So Rooted in Peace is really simple. It's asking the question, why are we so violent? Why we don't connect with nature. And it's a personal transformative journey into healing ourselves and healing our planet.
Right. And I believe you. We could send people to the website if they want more information.
Yes, www.rootedinpeace.com.
Excellent. Rootedinpeace.com. So I am so happy you were able to join me today, Greg Reitman. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed this discussion of your new film, Rooted in Peace, and I look forward to attending one of those screenings myself. Thank you so much for being us today.
You got it.
Okay. Bye-bye for now. And I want to invite all of you to stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few moments after we take some station announcements. Stay tuned for the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. This is Heart of Mind Radio.
This is PRN.FM. PRN. giving you a daily progressive take on the world.
Does the current dire state of the economy have you totally upset and confused? There are solutions to our financial ills, but first we have to get a handle on what's really going on. I'm Ellen Brown, author of Web of Debt and a new radio show host here on PRN FM, inviting you to join me and my co-host, Walt McCree, as we look behind the curtain at the shadowy world of global monetary control and what we can do to break ourselves free. The show is called It's Our Money, and it airs on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern. We'll be talking with experts in the world of monetary policy, as well as with people who are actively working to reclaim control of public money to benefit the public interest. So please join us for It's Our Money, Wednesdays on PRN FM or by podcast.
South of the border.
I'm Johnny Mueller, host of the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. Heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a show where you'll learn how to work, play, do business, or retire and live the life of Riley. Yes, an amazing number of first world people like you are jumping off the stateside treadmill and voting with their feet. And surprise, surprise, they're finding there really is an American dream. But it's not in Seattle, Milwaukee, or Cleveland anymore. It's down here in Latin America. So be sure to tune in to the Expat Files to find out how you can live the good life on a measly Social Security check.
Back. You are listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine Davis. I am so happy to be with you this morning, and so I want to come back with a little bit of breath, a little bit of relaxation, because when we speak to someone, certainly when I speak to someone, as we just did with Greg Reitman, I find it to be so inspiring, not just because the work itself is inspiring, but that people find the will and the resources and the desire to do great things in the world. And that's really what it takes to make things better. I mean, look at even at this network, the Progressive Radio Network, and it was inspired and created by Gary Null, and he has a tremendous impact through this network into the world. So I want to encourage all of you to think about what you can do to make a difference in your lives, or perhaps it is that you're already doing it. And I would love to hear about that. I would love to hear your story. It doesn't need to be such that of making a film or writing a book or singing a song, writing a song. It doesn't have to be a commercially viable thing. You could be doing something in your own community. I recently got a phone call from someone who's in my network, one of my a community of women and men who are doing their bit in the world. And, you know, she's creating an event in her own home in which she's inviting people to speak with, to be able to interface with a new author. So she's in her own way, giving support to this new author. She is able to increase the dialogue because it's actually a very dynamic topic. And I anticipate having this person on soon, but a very dynamic topic. And helping to build community by inviting her acquaintances and her friends together to this meeting with the author to have this discussion about the work. So this is something that's small. It's not in the big screen. It's not something that is going to create some kind of financial viability for the person necessarily, but it's a way of expanding what she can do in the world. And I think that each of us can do that. We can find ways, maybe through our own networks, and be it Facebook or Twitter. My sense is that it would be a beautiful thing if all of us came together and began to counter the toxicity with a carpet of beauty, with a flowing message of love and forgiveness, or whatever it is. Maybe it's justice. Maybe it's to give an upstanding perspective on something. But to be able to bring communication forth that is constructive, positive, uplifting. And I think we can all find ways to do that. And many of us are already doing that. So if you are, or if you have ideas, I would love for you to share with me, and so that we can talk about it. I can get involved in what you're doing. You can get involved with what I'm doing. We can spread the word if that's necessary. But I really do believe that we need to support each other in the work that we are trying to do, in the contribution that we are making in the world, because it all matters. It all counts, not just because of the so-called big success of anything, but because on an energetic level, just offering a smile makes a significant difference in a person's life. And that energy boost is felt by everyone, by the collective. And I believe there's a great deal of good going on in the world, but we don't hear about it because our media sources, our communication sources, are so overwhelmed by the message of mayhem and fear. And we can begin to sustain each other by supporting just conversationally, supporting energetically, supporting in terms of getting involved in each other's ideas and projects. Just being able to sit down with friends and having a wholesome conversation is just so important. So there's so much that we can do to make our lives connect, to make our lives centered. But it's important that we do that, because in the environment in which so much chaos is swirling around, we do have to take that step of centering, of assuring that we're not falling down that black hole of toxic negativity, of fear, of worry. And we have to pull ourselves back into the center so that we can continue unfettered by a lot of what we see going on in the world. I would love to invite you to participate in some events that I have coming up. And there, I say events because, you know, they're taking, there's a time and a place, but it's really all part of the work that I do as a mission into the world and sharing to bring ourselves together and to uplift the energy vibration so that we will be able to move beyond this limited reality that we are participating in at this time. So one of the things that I do is that I offer an opportunity for all of us to come together, as many who would choose, to a spiritual support group meeting. And it's actually a small group because people don't always have the schedule or the initiative to take those steps to support self and to sustain and support each other. But it's an ongoing spiritual support group. We have been meeting all year on the third Wednesday of the month. Our next meeting comes this Wednesday, December 21st, from 7:15 to 9:15 p.m. It's in Brooklyn at Janana Yoga Wellness Center. That's 97 Bond Street in Brooklyn, 11217, on the ground floor. And it is between Atlantic and Pacific on Bond Street. That's very close to the Barclay Center. It's very close to the A and the C trains. It's very close to the 2 and the 3 trains. So it's very easy to get to A to Hoyt Skirmahoyne, 2 or 3 trains to Hoyt Street, 4-5 DNQR to Atlantic Avenue, Barclay Center. So it's easy to get to for those who would like to participate, who really want to find that support and inspiration. We invite you to join us for the Spiritual Support Group meeting for December. It's the last of the year. And our topic is the 11 Eternal Principles. And we did a program on this. We at least introduced the 11 Eternal Principles so that we can really better understand how to maintain that sense of alignment. But what we're going to be looking at is moving beyond the power of attraction to the power of creation. Because very often, you know, we have that movie, The Secret, and there's a lot of advice that we can follow, and there are a lot of mental exercises that we can follow in order to create in our lives. But ultimately, the power of creation comes through the energetic vibration that is being held within your body, within your field. So there's a way in which we can begin to go deeper than just, say, manifesting a job or manifesting a relationship or money, but to really be able to recreate on the cellular level our physical body, recreate the energy field around us so that the field of energy actually moves forward and begins to manifest that which we want to create in the world, because the idea is to work for the highest good of all rather than to be as concerned with the personal. But the personal is first in alignment before moving into the capacity of working towards the highest good of all. But we're going to be exploring that during our spiritual support greeting meeting coming up at Jnana Yoga Wellness Center, and it's December 21st, that's Wednesday evening from 7:15 to 9:15 p.m. It's a little bit around the holiday season, but we always do a meditation, and this is a way of taking a break from the rush and hustle and bustle of the commercialized holiday and finding space of inner peace and inner divinity. So I think it's appropriate to do something in the holiday season. So we've decided to go ahead with the spiritual support group. For those of you who want to learn about meditation and physical spiritual practices, I am working on a project at Studio Maya. We've been offering mind-body healing with Qigong moving meditation. And we have three more sessions coming on Saturday, including tomorrow, December 17th, December 24th, and December 31st. And it's Saturday afternoons from 3 until 4:30 p.m. Studio Maya is in Brooklyn, 603 Bergen Street. And that is between Carlton and Vanderbilt Avenue. And it's a 2 or 3 train to Bergen Street. So it's really just one more stop from the Barclay Center, for those of you who are familiar with that Atlantic Avenue Barclay Center. And so it's easy to get to. It's in the middle of the afternoon. You can do your morning chores, come in, center yourself, and then go on to enjoy your evening festivities. So it's mind-body healing with Qigong moving meditation. And so it's a part of a full course, and some of the things that are covered are relax with grace and ease, anchor into the earth, connect with cosmic flow, hold and move energy through your body, deep tissue relaxation, self-applied massage and acupressure, standing meditation, moving meditation, jade body techniques, turtle longevity techniques, remedy routines, the bone marrow cleansing technique, the liver cleansing technique, and then actually on the last day, the 31st of December, we're going to do a trance dance based on Qigong practice. So that's just going into your deeper self and allowing your body to move to the joy of music. So that should be a very special event. We invite you to consider participating in those events. And for those of you who are not inclined to venture to Brooklyn, we have an event coming in January at the New York Open Center, and it is Soaring Crane Qigong for Optimal Health, a 5-part series, Embody the Grace and Beauty of a Bird in Flight. And this is January 5th to February 9th. Of 2017, Thursdays from 6 until 7:30 p.m. There's a free introduction actually on Thursday, December 5th. And Soaring Crane is a classic Qigong practice based on the principles of traditional Chinese medicine, Taoist philosophy, and communication with the natural world. through the interplay of breath, meditation, visualization, and gentle, graceful movement. It permits practitioners to accumulate vital force, that's chi, and circulate that energy in a healing flow to the body's meridians, as well as to exercise and stretch the body, strengthen the immune system, and calm the mind. It is the practice that I've been engaged in for the last 30 years, and it is the central core of many of my other practices and work that I do in the world. So I certainly invite you to participate, to join in to one of these events. And remember, you can always communicate with me if you have questions. Remember, if you want to get that pair of free screening tickets, you can email heartofmindradio@gmail.com. heartofmindradio@gmail.com. Also, if you're doing some fantastic work in the world and you want to add to that work, you can let me know about it and I could share it with people. For those of you who have deeper questions or more immediate questions, you can reach me by phone, 347-480-1694. 347-480-1694. You can go to my website, qigongonline.net, QIGONGONLINE.net, qigongonline.net. Or if you want to know about the healing practice, you can go to katherine.one, KATHRYN is how I spell my name. KATHRYN, Katherine.one, and you'll be able to connect to all of these things. You'll find all of this information on the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. That's PRN.FM. And go to the page for Heart of Mind Radio, and all this information will be under the program description. You might have to wait a little bit for it to get there. It usually goes up an hour or so after the show, along with the archive, which you can download at a later time. But just to remind you, we've been speaking of Rooted in Peace. And this is a movie that challenges viewers to examine their values as Americans and human beings. Today we are at war within ourselves, with our environment, and with the world. Director and award-winning filmmaker Greg Reitman takes us on a film journey to take notice, stop the cycle of violence, and proactively seek ways to find personal and ecological peace. It is opening today at the Cinema Village and will run from December 16th to the 23rd. The Cinema Village is 22 East 12th Street, so that's in Lower Manhattan. The screening times are 1:15, 3:15, 5:15, 7:15, and 9:15. So there are plenty of opportunities for you to go and enjoy the film at the Cinema Village. You can go to their website, rootedinpeace.com, rootedinpeace.com. And remember, if you're going to the box office, you can get $2 off of your ticket, which is pretty amazing. Those tickets these days cost quite a lot. But you can get $2 off if you use the complimentary code We The World. We The World. And so I invite you to check that out. I'm assuming that the person who is going to win these tickets has done so by sending an email to heartofmindradio@gmail.com, but you never know. You could still send in that email, and you will win those complimentary pair of tickets to heartofmindradio@gmail.com. Well, nope, and no one has sent in the email yet, so the two tickets are still available for you. If you want to send that email in, and that means you would be able to choose from these showings. You would be able to get your two tickets for an early show, an evening show, But first, I need to get that email from you, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And I do want to thank all of you for being with me today, for sharing the program. And I've been speaking rather quickly. I've got a little bit of a hoarse throat with the changing of the weather. But I do want you to take a minute as we go forth in your day to just breathe, slow it down, walk a little bit slower, breathe a little bit deeper, take a nice deep breath right now. Take a nice deep breath, exhale slowly. Take a moment to relax your neck and your shoulders. Take another deep breath, exhale slowly. And then I want you to bring your focus into your being, bring your focus into your chest, allow your awareness to flow with your breath into your body, connecting to the heart and the solar plexus to your deeper self, and allowing that wisdom, allowing that calm to rise and expand into your body, to expand into your life. That's how we start. That's how we get connected. And then allow that sense of peace and ease to follow you, to embrace you as you continue with your day. Thank you very much for joining me. This has been Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. Check out the website, PRN.FM. At the Heart of Mind Radio archive page, you'll be able to catch up with everything we shared today. I thank you and ask you to take care of yourself. Stay tuned.